This is Ozarks at Large. Late last month, we reported on a grant from the BASF Corporation to the University of Arkansas Office for Sustainability and the Center for Advanced Spatial Technologies, or CAST, to explore policies and practices to protect and restore habitat for monarch butterflies across the country. The $220,000 grant will be used to bring many disciplines together to learn more about the animal, its migratory paths, and the environment. This month, two of the researchers at the U of A involved in the work came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about it. Hannah Ford is a graduate student at the University of Arkansas, and Jack Cothran is the director of CAST. Cothran says BASF Corporation officials expressed concern about the decline of milkweed, which is an important food source for bees, wasps, and monarch butterflies. He says a conversation began about possibilities for contributing to the reintroduction of milkweed into areas where it had once grown.
Well, in understanding where milkweed has grown in the past and where it could be grown now requires an understanding of the landscape in the areas where they might fly. So there are clearly places where you can't plant milkweed in the middle of a farm field, for example. It's not likely that that would be reintroduced there. But there are marginal areas throughout the flyway where at the edges of fields, on roadways, along railroad tracks, along a variety of rooftops, for example, another example, a variety of areas where milkweed could be reintroduced. But understanding where those are and where to direct resources is a land use mapping exercise. And so the idea is to look not only at where the current land is available, but where it may have been available in the past and has been changed based on policies that could be affected down the road to create more areas for it. So we might consider through the NRCS, the National Resources Commission,
Conservation Service,
where they might apply their funding to promote the reintroduction of milkweed for landowners under their purview, mostly farmers and landowners in ag areas. So the effort then involves a very large mapping effort and understanding what current maps are available, taking into account new satellite imagery that would help us understand where the areas are developing and growing, and integrating all of that is a job for a geographer and CAST.
Do we know? I mean, if we looked at a map of North America, can we see a shape of where the migratory path is now, or has been, or?
Well, there are efforts underway to tag and monitor migration patterns of, in this case, the monarch butterfly, but of pollinators in general. And so based on the sightings that are available by volunteers, it's crowdsourced generally. Based on those sightings, we do have an idea of where they are. But it's like a lot of tracking efforts, it's based on where we have people willing to look and count and so forth. So we have a general idea, and I think the part of this project may create a better way of tracking those, or a better way of monitoring the tracking that's being done and adding to it and identifying areas where we should be monitoring but aren't. And it's probably good to point out in this case that we are certainly not the only ones working on this. There's a large national effort that I can let Hannah speak to in more detail to coordinate the activities of tracking, monitoring, and reintroducing milkweed or other habitat to reverse the decline and create more opportunities for monarchs flying south and north.
Yeah, Hannah, what are the efforts to know more about the monarch and how it's getting where it's going?
So we've started collaborating with the Monarch Joint Venture and the USGS Monarch Conservation Science Partnership, two of the organizations that have been working on this project or working to develop partnerships throughout the flyways. To address the presidential memorandum for pollinator conservation, which came out in 2014. And so we are trying to find areas where we can contribute and be complementary in our research.
Now, the monarchs have been migrating, have been flying, have been existing for a long time. The paths, I assume, are relatively similar. I mean, how much can we know about that?
I don't know that we know a lot about traditional patterns, and we're certainly not the experts in the migratory patterns.
Sure.
However, there are three migratory channels in general, very large areas. There's the western migratory pattern to the west of the Rockies. There's the central flyway, in which we're located. And then there's an eastern migratory path as well, which clearly is in the eastern U.S. So we know within very large regions where they are, and it certainly is where there's habitat to be found for their resting and feeding as they move south. So we know we have counts of where they are in Canada, where they end up, and where in Mexico they end up. And, in between, though, we don't really know fully. Again, there are counts underway. We have a general idea, but it's a sample, and it's difficult to know the full extent.
If there are similar pathways to what there were 200 years ago, there weren't many big box retailers in 1815, or parking lots, or subdivisions. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what could be changing, and trying to figure out what's in those, at least current pathways exist?
Correct. 200 years ago, the central U.S. was prairie, and with natural grasses and natural weeds, and milkweed was one of those. With the introduction of large-scale agriculture through the central region and through urbanization, a lot of those habitats have disappeared. And so the question is, where can we reintroduce those habitats or those plants? And it's a much larger question than even for the monarchs, much larger than milkweed. But where those go will affect where they fly. And really now it's finding out where we might be able to reintroduce. There are a lot of efforts underway in urban areas and in rural areas as well to provide milkweed seeds, to provide instructions on how to plant and grow. They're not the easiest plants to grow and nurture over time. But there are efforts afoot. It's just that it's where we can direct public resources to encourage the planting and maintenance and nurturing of those habitats or those plants is where we're hoping to make an impact. So understanding where we can put them and then helping national and local and state agencies direct funding to help citizens promote that.
In the 21st century, kind of well into the 21st century now, is obtaining this information and understanding this information easier than it was 3 or 4 years ago?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. I think that it's a little bit easier to work with people on data sharing and collaborating and accessing information in a way that it coalesces in a better way. Taking advantage of imagery collections that are now more available than they were before, that USGS is making a lot of their imagery readily available now, that was a little more difficult to get access to in years before. So those types of data are definitely easier to get a hold of now, and people have a better grasp of how to collect data in a meaningful way with the correct types of metadata associated with it so that you can use it in your own projects.
We rely heavily on the USGS and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, each of which process large amounts of satellite imagery over the entire U.S. and create what are called land cover maps. They're maps that tell you where there's open field, where there are agricultural lands, and what's been grown on those over the past several years, or the years that the maps cover, where roads are, where built-up areas are, all that you want. Again, all derived from satellite imagery. If we had undertaken this 15, even 10 years ago, we would have been responsible for creating all of that data, and it would take a lot more money and effort and time to recreate all of that. Now we can pull that data from the federal government that's been developed already and start from a much better position than we would have, so that this project wouldn't have been possible without that data availability. So it's their time and money that's been spent processing it. It's the ability to move that data around quickly, and we can get to it and use it effectively. So the answer is no, we wouldn't have been able to do this effectively a few years ago.
Often when you talk to people who are with business or agencies, they use the phrase figuratively the big picture. We need to see the big picture. Mm-hmm. You're trying to literally see the big picture, aren't you?
We are. We are. And, you know, we're this day and age, we have the kinds of resources available to us that allows us to look at that. And I think clearly a component of this will be some sort of, public-facing website, perhaps, that will allow other people to look at the big picture as well.
Henny, you're just starting your career.
Yes, yes, I am.
You're not. I mean, not to say that you're at the end of your career, but I'm thinking, can you put yourself when you were in Hannah's position,
yes,
and what has changed in the ability to understand these things in that time? And then do you think about when Hannah's at the stage of her career where you are, what mm-hmm. what else might be mm-hmm. at our disposal?
Yes, it's changed dramatically. When I was beginning my graduate studies, we had a difficult time downloading one scene of satellite imagery,
which would see it go line by line.
It would take, and it was hard to get. It was, and once you got it, the software that was available to work with it was very limited. It was a very labor-intensive process. So we might process a 30-mile by 30-mile swath, and that would be a big project.
You could walk away, go get coffee, go home.
Yes, and it would take, 5 or 6 months to actually process and produce a map. Now we're talking about doing the entire United States in less than 2 years. So it's changed dramatically. It's going to change even more dramatically when Hannah's in my position. Just to give you an example of that, Landsat revisits the same point on the Earth every 16 days. And so every day we get a new picture at the same time of the day of what the plan. And that's a hugely important. We have a nearly 50-year record of land cover change from the Landsat program. That's a huge thing. And hopefully we'll have that continuing forward. But there are commercial companies now, and this is just an example, but there are commercial companies that are launching satellites the size of a dorm room refrigerator, and they're launching them 10 at a time. And there will soon be at least 150, perhaps more, in orbit, and their revisit times are going to be measured in hours.
Oh, my.
And they're going to be taking images not at 30-meter resolution, but at 1-meter resolution. And the whole idea is to create a dynamic, live map of the world. And Google will use it to update their maps that allow us to get where we want to go and not drive off into a dead-end road that's been closed for a few years. But all of that data is going to soon be available to us, and it's going to increase the level of processing. And if you talk to the companies that are launching the satellites, they'll tell you we're not in the satellite business. We're in the information business, and being able to process all that information is where we are focusing our money and our efforts. And that means, like a lot of things these days, it means machine learning, teaching computers to look at the image, recognize what's there, and create the map with little or no human involvement, except maybe through quality control on a sample basis. So it's going to be hugely different, I think, 20 years from now.
Jack Cawthron is the director of the Center for Advanced Spatial Technologies at the University of Arkansas, and Hannah Ford is a graduate student at the U of A. They're working on efforts to help learn more about the monarch butterfly, milkweed, and the places where the plant might be reintroduced along traditional monarch butterfly migratory pathways. Their work is aided by a grant to the University of Arkansas from the BASF Corporation. This is Ozarks at Large.